What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
All right, welcome into the second hour of the Chase and Big Joe Show here on 102.5, 106 for the game, brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. We love our friends at Omni Nashville Hotel. Don't forget, Songwriter tonight at Bar Lines, 5:30. It's free. Go down. Great food, great ambiance, great music. Perfect place to go if you're going downtown for happy hour. Bar Lines, 5:30 to 8. Songwriter night, free to the everybody. It comes down there. All right, a week from today, the Titans report for training camp. It says Tuesday the report, probably Wednesday they have the first practice on the field, 9:15 to 10:30. I remember these practices used to go 3 hours for training camp back when Jeff Fisher was there. They'd go for 2 or 3 hours at a time. There'd be multiple practices, but with the collective bargaining, I think in 2011, they stopped those two-a-day practices because they were just so tough to do. And back, look, man, for all of us that grew up in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, two-a-days were what, you know, I'm not thinking we're better than anybody else, but, man, two-a-days were awesome. We hated them, but now looking back, two-a-day practices were the absolute best. They don't do those anymore. And sometimes if you were to college and you had three, like I played special teams, you'd have morning practice, take a break, then special teams for like an hour, which sucked, and then you have another break, and then the afternoon practice and dinner. So you kind of made yourself numb for about 4 or 5 weeks and did all that good stuff. So that's the way it was.
Yeah, I remember those. Morning practice, then the afternoon, and then you had that special teams practice in the midday.
Yeah, good times, right? And all that, and it was just so hot. But it was it was a good time back in the day, and it was a lot of fun that was going on. And so I'm trying to contact our next guest.
That's fine. You know, when I was at camp in high school my senior year with Brian Rector, it was funny. We went off to I think it was Kentucky Wesleyan. It was a school somewhere. But we ended up having no clocks anywhere in the building.
Smart.
And so we all were on our toes. There was one guy, he had a clock on his wrist, you know, a little wristwatch, and we kind of kept time that way. But it was – you miss your time, you miss practice. Boy, oh, boy, you were – in a problem.
Yeah, it is. Anyway, so the Titans start report a week from today, and then down the field Wednesday, Thursday. First game is it the 10th with San Francisco? So that's right around the corner, man. And then they had the joint practice with the Seahawks, and then on and on. We're good? All right, let's welcome. You know, yesterday we talked about our favorite players in SEC and who it is. And this guy's one of my top three players of all time in SEC football. He was an amazing linebacker, All-American. Linebacker Vanderbilt, the great Chris Gaines. He joins us now. Chris, good morning. How are you, buddy?
Good morning, Big Joe. Doing great, man. How are you doing?
Good. It's always good to hear from you. And I was thinking yesterday, it's 100 degrees. You know, I remember growing up with you and Brad and everything. Mid-July in the heat, to me, Chris, it always brings back the memories of right before football camp started, at least for me. Do you feel the same?
Absolutely, man. Love it. Love it. Love the memories and love thinking back about those times. Absolutely.
They were such good times. Let me ask you this. All right, All-American linebacker Vanderbilt, you know, with today's offenses, Chris, with the RPOs, how would Chris Gaines adapt to today's offensive football? Because, you know, it's back then it was like run on first down, run on second down, then we're going to pass on third down. And now it's like pass, 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 RPOs, RPOs. How would you have adapted your game to what it's going on now?
Well, I think I obviously would have had to step up the conditioning. I think that's a big part of it. There's so much more running now and so much more quickness and being on the move and having to recover for the next play. And I think conditioning is extremely important.
You know, back then, you know, I think people sort of forget this, that play, like the job of the defensive lineman is to keep the blockers off of you. And now, you know, it's got guys running everywhere and doing things. You would have to get into pass coverage, right? How much pass coverage did you do at Vanderbilt?
We did quite a bit, but it wasn't, it was more of a run first type thing. You know, back then, you know, first and second down, a lot of times you were looking at them running the football. Nowadays, I mean, they're throwing on every down sometimes. So I think the establishment of the run game has kind of changed, and, you know, therefore defenses are having to adapt.
Yeah, and also, at Vanderbilt, you did, I remember watching a lot of games, a lot of stunting you guys did to get into the backfield and everything. And were you a fan of the attacking, aggressive defense when you played?
I was. I mean, I think you got to have you got to make the offensive line and running backs think about who they're going to have to pick up if somebody blitzes. That's a big part of it. Big part of it is the mental part of the game, having to make adjustments, having to adapt. And I think I really enjoyed that part of it, keeping an offense off guard and us trying to dictate what we want them to do.
We had a long discussion last week, Chris. We're talking to Chris Gaines, former Vanderbilt All-American linebacker, about running the option and the wishbone and why teams that aren't really the strongest have so much success doing that. And my question would have been, why didn't Vanderbilt ever try the wishbone and the triple option? Because it seems like with teams like with Army, Navy, and Georgia Tech and things like that, it had great success. Was it difficult as a linebacker? Because I always thought it was, covering the wishbone and the option, because very rarely do guys stay in their gaps. We always want to make that big play, but you had to be gap responsible in order to stop the option.
Yeah, it's very tough to defend, and you got to be very disciplined. And as a linebacker, especially an inside linebacker, you're playing inside out. So the first thing you got to be aware of and take care of is the first part of the option, and that's handing it off to the fullback. Then it goes to the quarterback, to the pitch man. They can also throw off of it. So it's very difficult to defend. I hated playing against option quarterbacks. And matter of fact, my senior year, that was Tulane and Terrence Jones, and, you know, just a great college quarterback and very difficult to defend. And that game was very difficult game for us.
You know, it's funny. I remember that game because when I was in college, we got tape of that game. You had 37 tackles in that game.
Well, it's because of the offense that you just described. I mean, you know, there's a lot of opportunity to make plays. And, you know, my game was about the effort and you know, doing everything I could do to get to the ball. And so when somebody's running the option against you, you do have a lot of opportunity to make plays. But, you know, I also made a lot of special teams tackles that game. I played every special team while playing every snap on defense. So there was a lot of opportunity.
I remember watching that, and my coach was like, "Who the hell is number 34? I'm like, I raised my hand. I'm like, "Yeah, I kind of know that guy. He's pretty good on that." 37 tackles is amazing in that. I want to ask, what game, you know, there's one game that comes to mind, Chris, it's heartbreaking, was your last game at Vanderbilt against Tennessee in Knoxville when you guys had a huge lead. But I'll never forget you knocking the crap out of Reggie Cobb on a play. I think there's an iconic photo of you doing that. Is that one of those games that just still burns all these years later?
That's really the only game I think about. Because, you know, it was the last game. We lost that game in a dramatic fashion. I think we were up 28-0 going into or 28-3 going into the third quarter, and came back. Tennessee came back and won that game, and it just it tears me up, man. I think about that game when I think about my college career.
Oh, it was. I remember Majors after the game said that was the most impressive defensive performance he'd ever seen from another team, another player, talking about you, because literally all over the, I'll never forget the game. You're all over the field that day doing that. And I mean, that's great when a coach says that about you, but it also, as you just said, Chris, it still burns because you lost the game.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Joe. Johnny, mate, that's one of my favorite, you know, everybody's got some pictures of when they play college football, but that's one of my favorite pictures. I think the Tennessean snapped a shot of us at midfield after that game, and he's whispering in my ear and saying something very similar to that. So that's a really good memory for me. That, and what I tell you, a bad memory is trying to dodge all those orange golf balls they were throwing at me on the side. Hey, with your helmet off, that's not a good feeling.
Oh, welcome to the SEC in football. We're talking to Vanderbilt All-American linebacker Chris Gaines. Now, I'm curious about it. I've never known this story, but you got recruited by Bear Bryant, correct?
Yes, yeah, and that was actually, you know, that was the two schools I had narrowed it down to, Alabama and Vanderbilt, and I think my dad really wanted me to go to Alabama. Yeah, my recruiting visit was awesome there, and they took us in, and we met with Bear Bryant, and this was, I don't know, it had to be just a couple of months before he passed away, and he signed pictures for my dad, and I've still got a great, you know, note that he wrote me, which means a lot to me. He signed it, dated it, and Alabama and Vanderbilt. I took my official visits to Alabama, Vanderbilt, Tennessee, Texas A&M, and LSU, and that was the five official visits you could have, and all great schools, and I liked certain things about all of them. They all had great coaches. Texas A&M was Jackie Sherrill, and, you know, Alabama had Ray Perkins coming in, Johnny Majors, George McIntyre, and then LSU was a great school at that time, you know, still is.
Yeah, what do you – you won a Grey Cup with Toronto. Let me ask you about that real quick. You and John Candy became friends, right, when you played in the Canadian Football League?
Yes, and I'll tell a quick story. So I had announced my retirement in the middle of that season due to this bad ankle that I've had most all of my, you know, professional career and college. We were in the Grey Cup parade downtown Toronto. He pulls me aside into a little tavern called James Tavern right there on King Street. Down and says, Chris, you know, we talked for a minute. He said, what do you plan on doing? And I said, well, I love strength and conditioning. That's one of my passions. He said, how would you like to be the first full-time head strength coach in Canadian football history? I said, I would absolutely love it. And he said, you're hired. So he was a great. There was like four or five of us, Rocket Ismail being one of them, that when John Candy would come into town on the road games, he would call up to our hotel rooms, and about four or five of us would go to dinner with him. And he was just an amazing person. And what you saw on TV is what you got in person.
Oh, that, what a story. What a fantastic story with that. Let me ask you this. What do you miss about playing? Well, you know, I talk to guys. I love asking guys this question. For me, I miss the camaraderie in the locker room that you will not get anywhere in life. What do you miss about playing?
That's it, man. The camaraderie, the teamwork, the unity, the football brotherhood. I mean, it's your family. And, you know, the preparation. I miss the preparation, the training in the summer, and just doing everything you can do to be the best player you can be come fall. And, you know, I'll always miss those things. I loved every bit of it. And, you know, it's just something I'll never forget.
Yeah, it was great. Man, this is great. Chris, you know, I think the world of you and your family. I love you guys. Thanks for taking time to do this. Again, you're one of my all-time favorite players in the SEC, and this is an honor, Chris. Thank you, my man. I appreciate you.
All right, Joe. Appreciate you. Thank you, bro. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Chris Gaines from Vanderbilt, All-American there with just a great perspective on football and playing linebacker and the SEC. And I love that John Candy story. I knew a little bit about that, but not a lot about that. So that's very cool. All right, we come back, take a break, come back. We'll hear from SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey. The big talk about football now is the NIL, what he said yesterday. We'll react to that because the NIL is a runaway train. Dr. Crane, do we have anything that you need to read?
Great question, Joe. My computer is off to the side here.
I will just tell, okay, you want to take it?
Yes, please, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Today,
yes.
As always, the Chase the Big Joe Show is brought to you by what, Joe?
Omni Nashville Hotel, the best hotel.
Thank you very much. And the 1025 The Game phone and text line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the entire office is dancing. Welcome back to the Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106 through the game, brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Off and running. I think we're back down at the Omni Nashville Hotel on Thursday. That's if Chase ever comes back from sabbatical.
That breakfast.
Yep. I did get a text from him earlier that said, hi, and that was it. The location was off, so I don't know what's, if he was taunting me or whatever. I haven't seen him in... The last time we saw Chase, he set sail in mid-March. So hopefully he's back tomorrow from this extended vacation that's going on as well. So,
oh, my goodness.
All right, we'll continue to get our...
Set sail?
Yeah, he did. out of Priest Lake on the SS something. All right, reaction still coming in on our text line about funeral processions. Do you pull over? I was just curious. And then somebody weighed in to Dr. Crane about... He did the tunnel in Thompson Lane, and there was a guy that played the tuba.
Tuba, yes.
Tuba.
I said the trombone, yes, tuba.
I thought it was a trombone as well. But the tuba, the guy played the tuba over there to do that. See what we remember, man? It's crazy, isn't it?
For all that. What old Nashville used to be.
That's why I like talking to, you know, I'm an older guy, but I grew up 70s, 80s. So that was kind of my, in 90s, my football SEC stuff. So talking to a guy like Chris Gaines is just, I'm just fascinated. I mean, he had 37 tackles in a game.
It's impressive.
And when I was at Samford, we played a team that had played Tulane. We watched that tape, and I'll never forget the coach, like, look, what is 34? He's like, he's on rockets. 37 tackles. It's amazing. Yeah, you get five tackles. You get NFL player gets seven tackles. We're like, oh, great. 37. That either shows you're really good or some of the guys around you aren't doing their job.
Anyway, he's covering the whole field.
He basically is. Okay, the big talk about SEC football now and, of course, college football is NIL, the landscape, what's going on. It is a wild, wild west. And Greg Sankey spoke, I don't know if this is the clip or not, about getting the government involved. Anytime you get the government involved, it's a complete disaster. So I'm not sure what he's trying to do here. I get them to regulate something. It just, I know they stay out of it. I'm not sure if this, but this is Greg Sankey yesterday at SEC Media Days talking about litigation and NIL.
You know, in all seriousness, Greg, you know, there's a lot of litigation going on right now. What is the next critical hurdle in this process that we're going through to try to right the ship in terms of the future of college football? Because so many people say to me, why don't they? I get that question 100 times a day. But they don't understand that there's litigation. There's a process that we have to try to go through to implement some of these things in the future. And I think people just think we can just go fix this however we want, and we really can't. So what's the next critical step?
So let me you said it right. Like, people say, well, why don't they? And the way I say it is, people say to me, well, if you adjust and you fill in the blank, if you adjust, you know, change this, change that, then all the problems sort. These are not like linear issues. These are not singular issues. There's a lot on the table. The next issue is to work through the terms of a long form agreement around a legal settlement. So that legal settlement was announced May 23rd, and that's kind of a short set of terms. The basic parameters, and we're trying to accelerate what could have been decades of change into a matter of weeks or months. And so that's where the focus. And then when you get to the other side of that, people will figure out, well, even though we've told you this won't solve everything, this provides clarity around many of the elements we're dealing with or many of the issues we're dealing with, and then we have to implement that, and that will be another level of stress. At the same time that's happening, it's not just courts where we have issues to deal with from litigation. We have state legislation. We have conversation with Congress. You've made some of those trips with me in the past. We have conference rules. And so what we've done as a league is set up a set of working groups to deal with implementation, to deal with oversight, to deal with congressional activity at the federal level, but also deal with conference rules in the state laws with a lot of intent between now and next year at this time to figure out even better solutions.
All right, so with that nearly 2-minute clip, we're not talking about on the field football. We're talking about stuff outside the game of football, which I hate. I hate that it's come to this. We're not talking about whether or not Ole Miss gets 9 wins or Tennessee can get 11. We're talking about litigation. The commissioner's spending his time on litigation, and he's not sure where this is going to end or where it comes from. You all started it. You're all guilty for this. All of you guys are guilty. All right? It's just the way it drives me crazy. I get it. These guys should be paid. I understand it. I understand it 100%. But, man, we're not talking football anymore. We're talking off this field stuff. It drives me crazy, Dr. Crane.
And there was something he also mentioned yesterday in the multiple, you know, interviews he had. Someone asked him about what's the tiebreak situation because of the 16-team conference now. Like, you know, you get rid of the divisions. Like, what are you going to do for that? He goes, well, we're still trying to figure that out.
No, he didn't say that. Did he say that?
That's like on the back burner.
Would that not be already done now?
I'm paraphrasing.
Get what you're saying, but that should already be set in stone.
So that just goes to show you how much is on his plate. And I even mentioned yesterday, like, if Greg Sankey goes out and says something like that, I'm not too concerned about it because I feel like that's something easily that can be resolved.
Right.
But as for other stuff that is litigation purposes, as they're mentioning there, yeah, focus on that, then worry about your tie break.
Well, focus on your conference because, you know, his big thing was like, you know, in the NCAA basketball tournament, some of these schools like an MTSU shouldn't get in, whereas a 14-13 Vanderbilt team should because they play, you know, a Power 5 and all that other stuff, even though a team like Miller goes 28-2. It just – so he got burned on that because when Oakland beat Kentucky in the NCAA tournament, that was the first thing people put. Like, what you wanted to be put in there been in process, been in place, Oakland wouldn't have been there. We wouldn't have had that great – that's what makes a tournament great. That's what makes a basketball tournament are upsets. So, first of all, Greg, stick to your conference. Worry about what's inside your own house before peeking out the window for something else. When we're spending all of our time talking about litigation and, I mean, where are we going with this? You know, where are we going? It's going to be more and more and more. They're going to have to get a salary cap in there. Then if you regulate that, do you have to have a union? Who's going to be the union? I mean, it's just chaos. There's a reason some college coaches are going back to the pros. This whole thing about Mike Vrabel wanting to be maybe watch out Ohio State. Why the hell would you want to go coach college football knowing this landscape now? And even though you haven't been part of it in 15 years or whenever you left Ohio State to go to the NFL. I mean, it's a tough job for these guys. And I get it. They make a lot of money. I understand all that as well. But, man, at the end of the day, you're dealing with 18- and 19-year-old kids. That's what it is, man, just dealing with those. All right, we got a call here.
We do, Edward.
Edward, what's happening? Welcome into the Chase and Big Joe show, man. How's it going, brother?
Hey, guys, how are y'all?
We're doing well, man. What you got for us?
Two things. One, I ran into one of the better well-known coaches in a stairwell over at the university. And I was talking to him about the NLI. I also want to make a comment after this about Whit Taylor.
Sure.
And I asked him about the portal, NLI, name, likeness, image. And he said it used to be you could plan, prepare, look down the road. He said all you're doing now is filling a roster.
Oh.
And, you know, it's unfortunate where the NCAA has taken things. It's ruined it, in my opinion. And that's most of the people that I work at a sports-type venue. And that's most of the sentiment that you get now. Second thing, I was there in 1982 when a little scrappy quarterback named Whit Taylor took on mighty University of Tennessee and Johnny Majors. And it had been several years since we had knocked them down. But they took them down that day. There were some great players on that team. I think, and you can correct me, Joe, if I'm wrong, but didn't Whit Taylor go on down to Birmingham Stallions, USFL, win a title?
He did not.
And wasn't Alama Matthews played in the NFL? And there was another kid, I think, named Parker on that team.
I'm not sure. Are you talking Carl Parker? I don't think he was on that team yet. He came later. But okay. Like Norman
there
Jordan.
Was another receiver with Alama Matthews. Who was it?
I can't remember. I know exactly who you were. That was a great team. They beat Tennessee 28-21. No, they lost in the All-American Bowl to Air Force down in Birmingham. And I think Whit Taylor went on to play Arena Bowl maybe. He won maybe a title in Arena Bowl somewhere. But Whit Taylor was a hell of a quarterback. And that was a fun team to watch. That was a fun Vanderbilt team to watch. They ran the ball. I mean, they sprinted Whit Taylor out. They threw the ball down the field. Watson Brown was the coordinator. That was a fun, fun team to watch in 1982 because it was different. It was exciting. And, yeah, I remember that 28-21 over Tennessee over at Dudley Field. Good times. All right, Edward.
I have a comment about the coach and talking about the name, likeness, and image in the portal.
Sure.
I don't know if you remember LSU women this year. There was a blonde-haired girl, and she had transferred from Louisville. You know how much she made, Joe?
$400,000.
$400,000. That was her payday. Isn't that something? I can't get over that. I mean, what are they looking forward to in their career? I mean, anyway, I'll get out off that. But great show, guy. I like listening to you guys. Y'all are good.
All right, you're a good man, Edward. The check is in the mail, brother. Appreciate you. All right, we'll take a break, come back, react. There's a lot of things that are going on today. And also, there's one sure sign there's nothing going on in the football world. One sure sign that there's nothing happening in sports that we care about right now. And I'll tell you that when we come back. Listen to the Chase and Big Joe Show right here, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. All right, welcome back to the Chase and Big Joe, the show, 102.5, 106 for The Game. Let's just breathe, Dr. Crane. This is The Edge and Mission Impossible theme. It's just, I'm telling you, the Top Gun theme and this one here, I'd run through a wall. Of course, I'd probably break every bone in my body, but the attempt to run through the wall would look good.
Your adrenaline would just take you through everything.
It is right now. Is this another drum thing? Oh, it just... I mean, you get that last half mile. Or you did this. We used to run hundreds when I was in college. You had to run
16 110s.
And then they had to be within a second and a half of each other. But you had to run them like 18 seconds. But you couldn't be 20 seconds. They had to be concise. And this song, I mean, turn it up again. There we go. A little background music. I got two more to go. You put this on, full sprint, man. We did a thing in college called fifths, where you had to run. You had 70 seconds to lineman to run around the field, right? So you put that, and you could do it. I mean, I could make that run. I can't make it now.
You never know, Joe.
Running backs had 60 seconds to make it. Us big goofy guys had 70 to make it around. You had to do five of those. If you didn't make it, you're in trouble. So we always made it.
I think we had like 55 seconds, I think.
Okay.
I could be wrong. It was around that number as well. It might have been 60 seconds.
When I had gotten kicked out of practice at Sam for my tussle with Jimbo, they made me do fists on the football, on the game field. And so I was furious. I was running and cussing the whole time at the coach. Of course, he couldn't hear me because I was a tough guy.
Right.
But I soon realized I'm out of breath. I got to stop. I got to save my energy. Had I had this music, it would have been great. Like we talked to Chris Gaines earlier, man, about the camaraderie. You remember the camaraderie? I mean, you remember riding a bus, you know, in high school across town. Nobody think you could win. And, you know, you beat the snot out of the other team and come back. And those bus rides back were some of the greatest moments of my life when you went and won a game and rode back. It's 1,000 degrees. You smell, you stink, but you don't care.
Yeah, I can't agree anymore, Joe. I mean, there was one time it was a playoff game. We got absolutely trounced by Baylor. It was bad. Like, I think we lost like 31-7 or something. It was a bad.
Do better.
Well, I'm no longer can play high school football, but okay, continue here. We were driving on the way back. The bus took us back to Father Ryan, and the bus broke down on the side of the interstate in Chattanooga. So that meant the bus had to be turned off. And it was, even though it was in December, it was super cold playoff time, the bus was hot. I mean, sweaty people. We didn't get to take a shower after the game. We put all of our stuff underneath the bus, and we were just sitting there. Couldn't do anything. And, of course, some of the parents, they got us pizzas, so we were able to eat pizza on the way home. And so, you know, some people ate too much pizza, and someone vomited in the bus that was extremely hot. And it smelled. It was bad. But you know what? It was a memorable moment. And try to forget it sometimes. But it's just a good chuckle with some of my buddies.
Yeah, so you rich private guys got pizza.
You know what, Joe? We got enough with the rich private stuff.
Right? We got a slap on the head like, good job, boys.
Wanted my Catholic education.
But you did. You went to a nice private school.
Thank you. It's nicer now. I'm
not faulting you for that, man.
It wasn't as nice when I was there. I mean, it was nice.
You rich private school boys got the world at your fingertips.
All right, Joe.
Us guys inside the tracks, we have to.
This is where I need Chase to just give me a good old choke.
Yeah, he's on your side. He went to FRA. Boys. No, I love it. We're all one. We're all pushing together to do this. But no, those are some of the greatest memories ever to do that. You know, we weren't fancy enough on. I didn't play Division I. You don't fly in here and there. But, you know, it was. Those bus rides were magical. It's not magic. It's magical. Of all that was discussed. And sometimes you got your butt kicked and had to drive home. Nobody said a word. But the character, and we talk about the Chris Sanders about this all the time, just the character about having to be bigger than yourself and to do things. You know, there's probably 40 guys from high school football I still talk to today. There's maybe college, five or six. But you grew up, man. You have the different memories and different things that go on. I mean, we all struggled together, and we came together as one. So that's why I'm a champion of high school athletics, whether it's football, basketball. I don't care what you play. Just be a part of something, and it makes you better. And just the connections you get throughout life stay with you throughout life. I mean, you've got those. I mean, you understand guys you still talk to today. You could not talk to a teammate for 10 years. You see him, you pick back up immediately where things happen.
There's one guy that moved out to Hawaii. He actually walked on. He was in the it was a wrestler, and he ended up walking on, I guess, to play football for Hawaii and played all 4 years. Super nice guy. George is a great guy. He's still out in Hawaii doing something, but sure enough, we make this joke that, you know, he has like five kids because he was such a big kid. You know, he's like an adult in high school. Like, man, how are your five kids doing, you know? And sure enough, that's always a go-to joke when you talk with a guy like
beautiful.
That. And you pick right on up like you're talking about.
Yep.
So
I've written about this before about football. And we, you know, in high school football, whatever. But we went to play Dixon County. They were ranked third in the state. We were fifth in the state. There must have been 10, 12,000 people. They beat us. Then after the game, their fans wanted to fight us. It was a magical moment I'll never forget. Because I'm hearing cuss words I never heard before, and I'm like talking to my mom after the game, and we got guys chasing fans of Dick. It was just this amazing, and we lost the game. But I'll never forget that. It was just a wonderful memory that sticks in my mind forever. Hey, before we go to the break, I want to tell you this is how we know there's no football going on, nothing in sports. Are you going to watch the All-Star game tonight?
Yes, I will.
All of it?
Not all of it. I'll watch probably the first three innings.
I might watch because Skeen's pitching.
Yeah, and for the All-Star game, just for a heads up for those that, you know, are not big baseball people, Paul Skeen's will probably only pitch one inning because there's a lot of pitchers on this All-Star team, so they're going to get everybody a good rotation. But
yeah, I don't want to see my starting go-to pitcher go four innings in a meaningless, crappy All-Star game.
It used to be different back in the day, like because that game actually had meaning on like who had home field advantage for the World Series.
They're done with that, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Man, I haven't watched an All-Star game in so long. I used to watch them all. I remember 1983, Fred Lynn had a grand slam at Comiskey Park in the All-Star game. We were all so excited about that. But again, I'm an old man. Anyway, I'm looking at ESPN.com, and there's like no mention of like football in their headlines. It's just nothing. Like there's the very bottom was talking about the Browns punter that got an extension?
Dustin Hopkins?
The punter?
He's a kicker.
Kicker. Okay.
Place right. Kicker.
Thanks. He's not a butt kicker.
I mean, he could be.
He's a place kicker. Thanks.
That's the proper term. They call it a place kicker.
Okay, I just call it a kicker.
I mean, I'm right there with you.
All right. It's like people had a trouble with tailback and halfback. It's running back.
Yep.
Just a running back.
It's a halfback, Joe.
Just whatever. It's a guy who can't run the ball in front of him. Let's not make this difficult.
Hey, let's not forget about fullbacks, all right?
Fullbacks. We love fullbacks.
Thank you.
Converted into H-backs.
Yes.
But with the spread offense, very little of the fullback. Who's the greatest fullback of all time?
Mike Allstott.
Oh, that's a good
one.
Would
you consider that a fullback or
a
running back?
I think a fullback to me is a guy that gets like 7 carries a game for like 9 yards, but all those are first downs.
You know, I really admired Ahmad Hall when he played for the Titans back in the day. I mean, he served for the country, also played football. Like, the way you're able to still exercise and have, you know, your head on your shoulders after all that, it's incredible.
I got a great Ahmad Hall story for you. I can't tell it on air. I have to tell it off there. I'll tell for you. And it's fascinating. So, but fullback-wise, I mean, Moose Johnston, Matt Sui for the Bears was fantastic. I mean, just fullbacks. Like, Brad Baxter, who played for the New York Jets, was a great fantasy football player because he'd score 20 touchdowns and have to carry the ball like 25 times a year. That was it. So, the great fullbacks. Keep fullbacks alive. Keep fullbacks in your prayers when you do that. All right, we will take a break, come back. We got one more segment. Don't forget tonight, Songwriter Night at Barlines Omni Nashville Hotel starts at 5:30. It is free. Great food, great ambiance. Park down there. Go in. Have a great time. Barlines Songwriter Night, 5:30 tonight at the Omni Nashville Hotel. This is the Chase and Big Joe Show right here, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. All right, welcome back to the final segment of the Chase and Big Joe Show here on 102.5, 106 for the game, brought to you by good friends at Omni Nashville Hotel. Great discussion today. We appreciate you guys so much. I tell you this all the time. We have a great listening audience. We really appreciate you guys and gals who listen to us and all the response today. Amazing response on, do you stop for a funeral procession? It's fantastic. Just reading, I mean, all these, dozens and dozens. Thank you guys for weighing in. All right, it's time for America's favorite segment. America's favorite game show. And what day is it in celebrity birthdays?
All right, today we have Guinea Pig Appreciation Day.
Oh, okay.
That's first. I know people in Ecuador would love to eat those. I've heard from actual sources.
Where?
Ecuador.
Eat guinea pigs?
Yeah. It's like a delicacy.
Okay.
Just passing that on. National Atomic Veterans Day. That's on there.
Atomic veteran?
Yeah. It says National Atomic Veterans Day.
What is an atomic veteran?
It's just showing
somebody that worked on the atomic bomb?
Yeah, so it's showing a picture of the atomic bomb, yeah.
Okay, all right.
We also have National Cherry Day, the ones that have the pits in them. Those are very good.
By the way, they prevent gout.
Do they?
For people who don't know, cherries prevent gout.
Well, they're just delicious to just munch on.
They are.
National Corn Fritter Day. Got that.
Can't beat that, pal.
Not at all. National Fresh Spinach Day. There you go.
Pass?
Really?
Spinach?
Give me a bag of spinach. I'll just eat it like popcorn.
Are you serious?
Dead serious. Dead serious. It's awesome. National Personal Chef Day.
I've got two.
Yep, as do I.
Burger King and Wendy's.
I was going to say relatives, but okay. Rural Transit Day.
Like a rickshaw?
It's just showing a bus in the rural areas of of America.
God bless them.
There you go. And then World Snake Day.
World Snake Day?
Snake Day, yep.
You know, the snake has the worst PR team of all time.
Why is that?
The snake. I mean, are you snake? I mean, they need a better PR team.
That's fair. I mean, I feel like snakes are nice things. I mean, they do nice things for people.
Rat snake and all that?
Yeah, they kill, like, rodents around your house.
Just stay away from me.
Circle of life.
Yep. All right.
As of that, celebrity birthday.
Have you seen the thing where they attach the fake snake to the golfer and they... It's one of the greatest things on Instagram.
He hits the golf cart.
Oh, my gosh. It's so funny. All right, time for celebrity birthdays. Our handsome intern, Colin Kadoof, is here. What advice did I give you?
Speak loud. Speak
and,
loud.
And stand up. There you go. Yep, yeah.
There we go.
We call that chest proud.
Chest proud.
All right. Yeah. Time for celebrity birthdays. You ready, Dr. Crane? You got smoked yesterday. Let's
I
do
did.
Better today.
8-1. Yikes.
All right. First birthday, actress Phoebe Cates from Fast Times at Ridgemont High. We all remember that scene. Colin, do you know her?
I've seen the movie a couple times. So, yep.
How old is she?
I'm going to say 62.
Okay.
61.
61, exactly. Dr. Crane, you didn't cheat, did you?
No, I have witnesses back here. My computer's not there.
The very funny Will Ferrell, today's his birthday.
I'm going to go 57.
57?
That's what he said.
Oh, 56.
57. Well done. Up
Sorry.
They're tied 2-2.
I kind of spaced out there for a second. Sorry about that.
Tied 2-2. Corey Feldman.
He's in the Goonies, right?
He is.
I'm going to go 56.
53 exactly. 4-2. You guys have gotten three dead on.
You're worrying about me, Joe? Worry about the intern over here.
So proud of you guys. I don't know who this is. Keep going down. Don't know who this is, but she's beautiful. Let's see here. All right, the drummer for the Police, Stuart Copeland. How old is he?
I'm just going to go 65.
81.
72. Lord of the Dance, Michael Flatley. How old is he?
We'll go 73.
78.
66. Richard Pryor's daughter, Rain Pryor, was in the TV show Head of the Class.
45.
51.
55. So you guys have fallen off here a little bit. NFL coach Jimmy Johnson.
80.
78.
81. Collins up 5-2. NFL running back Barry Sanders. How old is Barry Sanders today?
We'll go 55.
57.
55, 57? It's 56. We call that a push in the industry. So now we'll go to more sports birthdays to do this. You guys are doing great today. At least the intern is. All-American football player, played for the Minnesota Vikings, Ron Yeary. One of the best offensive tackles of all time. How old is Ron Yeary?
We'll go 77.
68.
78. 6-2. We're not done yet. We got a little more time for you to come back. Is this the former? Yeah. The former Titans kicker, Gary Anderson, who Derek Mason knows quite well and should probably send him a birthday gift today for beating the Ravens in 2003. Former Titans kicker, Gary Anderson.
We'll go 55.
63.
He is, put my math together, he is 65 today.
I get it.
That's right.
How about that?
You do get it. 6-3. We're not done yet. We got a little more time here before we get out of here. Let's see here. Don't know who that is. Claude Lemieux, hockey player.
I'll go 67.
Oh, no. He's got to be younger. 39.
59. And one more here, if we close it out here. He is from Columbia, Tennessee. Pitcher, William Van Landingham. Billy Van Landingham played for the New York San Francisco Giants. He's from Columbia. How old is Mr. Landingham?
We'll go 57 again.
Landingham,
53. 54. That ends it. Intern wins 6-4. Proud of you, intern.
Thank you.
Respectable loss for me. All right, the Generals go on to next week.
You're coming back. Well done. Hey, that's our show for today. Many thanks to Rudy Kalis for joining us and for Chris Gaines as well. Talked a lot of football today. As we leave every show, to our guys out there, you're doing a great job. We love you. If you're struggling, look on your cell phone, dial 988. Please talk to someone. If you're going through something, reach out to us, to the men who've reached out to us so far. We love you, and thank God that you reached out. We all walk together in this. As I tell you, God put you on this earth for a unique purpose that only you can fulfill. So if something happened to you, you'd be tremendously missed. Please know that. And please know that we tremendously love you. Have a great day. Willie and D-Mace up next.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.